truck and hit the road. Our land is our home.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Arlanders podcast. Now, we've taken a little bit of a hiatus. Kingston actually is coming back. He is no longer going to be living on the road. He is going to set up home base up in Oregon. So we're really stoked for him. But a really good way to bring this podcast back, not necessarily back, but, you know, just release another fun episode. None other than Squirrel Concepts has been a really favorite for our local audience. So Squirrel Concepts is based in Long Beach, California. We've been doing a ton of work with them with Easy Supplies, whether it's their merchandise program, the Overland Swap that's really popular. We've done episodes with Arlanders together and just overall really good friends of mine. So we're stoked not only to have V on those past episodes, but this time we're bringing all the Squirrel Boys. And the Squirrel Boys include V, Adam, Mark, and they actually just added their fourth, which is Chai. What we're going to do is just kind of pull back the curtain and share a little bit of the Squirrel Concepts day to day and get kind of their personality and have fun with it along the way. It was a good one and it's a long one. So I'm stoked that we're bringing it back for a really long episode this time. And actually for Mike. So also want to give some love to Andy Cedano for letting me borrow two mics. So we had four for this episode. So let's hop into it with Squirrel Concepts. Squirrel guys here.
Yes.
We got Mark.
Yep.
We got Adam.
What's up?
We got V, as you guys know. We got Chai in the corner. Say what up, Chai. What up? Yeah. but I think, as we talked about a little bit earlier, it's like a good way to be a little more transparent, like what Squirrel Concepts does, who you guys are. It's like, I feel like you started this and it immediately has just been a grassroots banger of a business, which is awesome, you know?
Yeah, I think that's one of the points that I'm the most proud of, or the most stoked to claim, that this is just a homegrown operation.
Mm-hmm.
We have our little space here. Like, we've been able to do this with the money that we've had in our pockets, you know?
I love that.
Yeah. And I think that's the way, like, talking amongst each other, that's the way it's always going to be.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think we're looking for investors or anything like that to get this whole big space. I think we're very happy doing what we do, how we do it.
Do you think being in Long Beach plays a big component?
I think so.
I think so too, dude.
I mean, there's a huge auto industry around here. Uh-huh. We don't have to drive far for parts and I mean, all the wrecking yards and stuff like that too.
Yeah.
We don't get to as often as we should, but.
So Mark owns, you own Lady, mm-hmm. which is a, what year 4Runner?
87.
87 4Runner. Yep. And then, is that your only Toyota?
Yeah, for like personal.
Uh-huh.
We've got a couple other like shop trucks that we're working on, but yeah, Lady is my first Toyota truck.
Kind of got you into this whole thing?
Yep.
Okay. And then Adam, you have that...
Adam doesn't even know how many he has.
How many do you have? Yeah.
If you want to ask Adam, what do you
want? Adam, go for it. kick it off.
We really do care about the integrity of what we're selling. So we'll kind of go through it and just make sure it's kind of, I don't want to use the word turnkey, but in a way, turnkey. Yeah. So change all the fluids and just check just do a health check on the motor and the transmission and just the overall drivability. So if it's something where we think the motor is going out, you're not going to get the same price as if the motor was completely fine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think we've been lucky that we haven't had to post a truck for sale, to be honest. We just say, hey, look at this cool truck we found, and we're fixing it. And somebody always is like, hey, is it for sale?
Uh-huh.
And we're like, it could be.
Yep.
And sure enough, somebody claims it, and we just kind of go off what they want out of a vehicle, and they take it home.
That's the whole grassroots mentality. I think that's why it's special what you guys do. Compared to, like you were saying, no business loans. Because if you wanted to do that whole flipping mentality and turn Squirrel Concepts into like a full blown like mini dealer, mm-hmm. sure, you can take that route. But I feel like you can sniff out the fakeness of that pretty quick.
Plus, there's already people doing that.
Yeah, probably like, tons, huh?
Yeah, you can find trucks for the same price as what we're selling them for.
Uh huh.
but they haven't been gone through.
Yeah.
And it's like you're working with a salesman instead of a craftsman.
Yeah.
That's trying to make the best possible truck.
Yeah. You guys, if you get a Squirrel Concepts truck, all your hands have been on that truck. Yeah. Been ran through by the Squirrel Boys.
I mean, in all honesty, like, I was just speaking to a new client, and she's a she. And we have two original long bed, you know, Toyota pickups that are sitting in our garage now that are owned by women. And I think this is a place that's inviting for every kind of person.
Yeah.
You know, we're not trying to judge you because you don't know where an oil drain plug is. You know what I mean? It's like,
even if you don't know how to drive a manual, we've sold three,
we teach you literally
manuals, three yeah. manuals to three people that didn't know how to drive manuals.
Their first stab at it yeah. was when they took it off the lot.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Damn, that's crazy.
Danny.
Oh, shit. Still doesn't know how to
We're
drive.
Kicking it off. Poor Danny.
Me home back.
Oh, man. I love that, too. Okay, so, but when I remember when V and I first talked about squirrel stuff back in the day. You would, like, tinker with a bunch of shit. Mm-hmm. Like, so naturally, you just ended up with that Toyota in your hands with Wilson.
Yeah, I think that was
the whole process.
Fate kind of running its course was, yeah, I was looking. I mean, I always loved the body style of the Toyota pickups. And,
yeah.
It's still, to this day, is, like, one of my funniest stories is, like, I settled for the four-cylinder 22RE in my pickup truck when I bought it.
Uh-huh.
That was when I just had no idea anything about Toyotas, you know, and it turns out that that's the holy grail that I ended up getting. But, you know, there's a V6 version and then there's a four cylinder. And a lot of people, if they don't know the trucks, they'll think like the V6 is the better option, but yeah. it's actually not the case. But
that just out of fate, you ended up with the Wilson and then yeah. that started everything for you. And then yeah. for you, Mark, it was Lady.
Yeah. So I'd been looking at Toyota pickups for a long time. I had already known the 22RE was the way I wanted to go. I knew it was a better motor, but I was looking for an extra cab pickup and always kind of had 4Runners in the back of my mind, but I saw the ad for Lady up in Sacramento and it was just, I mean, the white on the red just got me.
Looked pretty sick. I mean, yeah. you've done so much work to that. It was yeah. in a Toyota commercial, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
legit Toyota?
Yep.
That's fucking crazy, dude.
40th anniversary of the 4Runner.
Yeah, that's the truck. That's
the star of the show.
Star of the show.
It was pretty much. I remember seeing the commercial. I think you posted it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And then Adam, that was, well, you.
Well, joking, going back to the
yeah, how did
flipping
you,
days, I mean, don't get me wrong.
Uh-huh.
I flipped a lot of shit in my life. But
not just trucks.
Yeah, I mean, so, that's probably
BMX bikes.
Yep.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
Don't even get me started. I used to go to thrift stores and buy $15 10 speeds and then flip them for $150, $200 on the weekends.
So you had that little spark in you already.
Dude, I've been surviving my whole life trying to make extra money.
I love it, dude.
Yeah, I worked for a con artist.
Are you serious?
I went fishing every day for summer and sold fish on my street when I would bring them home. Like it's pretty gnarly. Anyways,
can you test that, Chai? Is he speaking facts? No oh, cap. Yeah,
3 for $10. That's a deal.
Are you serious?
For fresh fish?
Wow.
Hell yeah.
All right,
dude. You couldn't find anybody's front door because it was covered in a garden, because everybody would eat out of their gardens.
Yeah.
Damn, that sounds like paradise, huh? But in reality, it was poverty.
Where was this at?
It was east of Riverside County, which is in Moreno Valley.
Okay.
So. Kind of like a Breaking Bad, but worse.
Okay. So you were, how did you meet? I thought you were in Pasadena.
I live in Pasadena.
Okay.
I rent a room out at my friend's house and I've been there for quite a while. Yeah. So just going back to Toyotas, I think my first Toyota pickup was a turbo, actually a single cab turbo pickup.
Sick.
Which was pretty rad. And, or actually I've had a Tacoma before that, a few. But I don't know. I broke up with the previous partner in my relationship and unfortunately bought a lot of beer, buried myself in the garage and just started wrenching. Just took things apart, put it back together. I've always had that like natural like curiosity of wanting to do that stuff.
Yeah.
But never really, I guess, felt confident in it.
Mm-hmm.
But now with YouTube University, which is nothing to be ashamed of, you just got to do your research and and know that not every video is right.
100%.
So that's what's cool about these Toyota manuals and these books is like, it's from the factory.
Use the YouTube as a reference to like see it being done and then reference your...
Definitely use YouTube.
I always trip on the manuals, like vintage shit. Even like patent, like have you seen patent drawings? And it's like someone physically drew every figure, every bolt. I don't know if there's anyone's name, like they get marker mentioned, like mentioned in the back, like illustrated by, but I'm like, damn, that's fucking iconic.
Toyota has that, right? The little Toyota man, you know, when he's like the guy that like shows you how to like, adjust the rear parking brake, you know, in the book.
Oh.
He's got a little Toyota guy and he's like, oh, drive backwards.
And it's illustrated?
Yeah, it's illustrated.
Yeah, that shit's cool. Yeah. But those manuals, they're still produced or you guys found them somehow?
They're reproduced, not by Toyota. I think there's another company that has the reproduction rights.
So it seems like the only place we can find them is eBay.
Yeah. Right? It's the easiest, quickest way to get them.
When you were doing the flip mentality as a kid, just hustling, bikes, all that stuff, where were you on Craigslist?
Dude, I was on everything. I was knocking on people's doors.
Are you serious?
Yeah, dude. I don't know. I've always had an eye for valuable things.
Chai is smiling in the corner because he knows his brother's hustle. So Chai is
the same way, though.
You guys are both. You guys are brothers, right? Is it just you two?
No, we do. We do have a sister out in Amsterdam.
Oh damn!
Okay. She moved out there pre-pandemic, but
okay. So you guys are both like now. I mean, you work at Squirrel too, right? You're doing your own thing here.
Yeah, I'm pretty much like a shop hand, so I help out when it gets a little tough around here.
Sick.
Yeah, Chai is a man of a lot of traits. So it's one of those things where, like, we constantly have our hands full, and to have somebody draining the radiator while I focus on, like, a other problem really, really helps.
Yeah.
Like, it really does save time. Or we need something picked up from Toyota, or, like, I need to go through the differential gear oil or something. Like, it's just really nice to have somebody there to just who knows what they're doing and who would ask questions if they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Because that's important to us is like the reason we want to touch everything in the repair as an individual is because we want to know that it was done right.
Yeah.
But to have these guys around the shop, it's almost like an extension of yourself, right? You know that they're going to check the torque or question if that's the right bolt, you know what I mean?
So yeah.
I think that for us, that's extremely important.
I think that said though, like Chai doesn't just drain diff fluids. Like Chai fucking gets down.
Every time he can do everything.
Yeah. Every time I see you here, you're always wrenching on something, you know?
Yeah.
Unlike Mark, who's just fucking always drinking beer and shit.
Yeah. Just farting on us. It's only because
you bring it.
True. Damn.
Damn.
All right, I'll stop coming around.
But I think, like, you know, as Squirrel develops and shapes and molds, like, Chai can get down on welding. And, like, I would love to have that ability at Squirrel to be like, oh, you need your bumper welded together or this and that, or you need this custom piece and this piece because I don't know how to do it. I know I could,
yeah,
but I just don't have time right now to just teach myself how to weld because I'm teaching myself how to rebuild motors.
100%. It's all so meticulous. So you don't like calling it flipping?
No.
You guys don't like flip?
No.
What would you guys consider, you
know,
it then?
Honestly, like, I worked in sales, right? I used to sell $15,000 bicycles.
Yeah, that shit's crazy,
right? And we sell trucks in that price range, so to me that's like, it's easy to sell a truck at $15,000 if I can sell a bicycle. But I never imagined myself as a salesperson. I imagine myself as an educator.
Mm-hmm.
So I educate somebody on why this costs $15,000. And I actually talk them down from buying a $15,000 bike. I'm like, hey, you're just getting into it. Why don't you just buy this, you know, $1,200 bike and see if you like it. And then, like, you know, upgrade to the next thing. You know, and so that's the thing is, like, selling a $15,000+ truck is actually quite easy, but the thing that sells them is the vibe, right? Like how, like what, like the feeling, right? Like what we get out of a vintage rig and fixing something by ourselves and like just keeping the truck running for 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years or whatever it is, you know? It's just really amazing to me that we can keep recycling these metal boxes. You can hate on the fuel, you can hate that it's, you know,
slow as hell,
slow or whatever, but ultimately they're tested and they're proven. You know, I don't think we'll be talking about the same Tesla for 40 years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Those batteries, they're just not going to last that long.
I do think that you bring up a good point, though, that there's an aesthetic that you're also selling with the truck. Like for
it's a lifestyle.
I see someone driving down, but you guys have done a really good job with it as well, because that's hard to brand something like that. Like branding an emotion is a really difficult thing to do. But now it's like I see someone driving down the street in a retro, whether it's like 4Runner, you know, whatever it is, pickup. And I'm like, man, that's a squirrel truck. And I've been with homies that are like, hey, squirrel, you know? And it's like, that's a hard thing to do. Yeah. So for you guys to sell a $15,000 truck, seems like it's been a little bit more, maybe simpler to do, but it's because you guys have put so much work already into like developing a brand behind it too.
I try not to think too much about branding per se. Like I really don't look at it that way. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of like, I mean, this is who we are and this mm-hmm. is what we like to do. And kind of touching base on what Adam just said earlier about educating people, I think that's the whole allure of owning one of these trucks. You know, it's to learn how to work on it and to maintain it yourself and keep it running. That's the lifestyle, you know, and that's mm-hmm. what we want to offer to people, you know, when they come in. And
I think a lot of people have been disconnected from their cars because it's all computer stuff.
So yeah.
It's like literally they don't know anything about it because you got to have a huge computer to plug into it to figure out what's wrong with it.
Yeah,
whereas dude. Like these old trucks, you got to pay attention to them.
You got to like listen to it. Turn it on. Does it sound different when it turns on? Yep. Is it idling weird? All that shit.
There's also not so many people that are willing to share that information. Or it's like, I remember when I was younger in high school, I was super into cars, you know, but like, I didn't know much, and mm-hmm. taking it to a shop, I always felt that vibe of like, drop it off and get out,
you know,
and no one was really able to take the time and show me how to do something,
you know,
and that's a big thing that we're trying to change, or we're just trying to do things differently on a lot of different fields, you know?
Like, let's just say Levi, for example. You guys had to go find Levi. How did that whole trip transpire? Like, you guys found them on Google Maps?
Well,
I saw Adam fucking doing that.
Mark
shit.
And I were both taking dumps.
Yeah. But separate, together?
Separate
yeah.
places.
No.
He sent it to me and he was like, check this one out. And I was like, my legs are asleep, but for sure.
Yeah.
You know, it's just one of those things. It's like, even though, you know, to be honest, I'm just not on the prowl like I used to be because I already personally have too many trucks to even get to now.
Yeah.
So, but it's just a natural thing to do, right? Like, I'd rather browse listings than watch a TV show. It's kind of weird. I don't know if that is, but I'm sure a lot of people relate to that. And it's just really, I guess that's how you stay relevant in the market, right? Is seeing how things develop, what things sell for. Can't believe they got this much for it, or I can't believe they got that little for it, or whatever it is. It's just being aware of what's happening in the market. And I, you know, it was just another ad that I ran into.
Plus, I like seeing all the hoopties out there.
There's a bunch of hoopties?
There's a bunch of hoopties.
Really? That's kind of sick, though.
Super customs.
I went to Hawaii recently, and dude, the freaking Toyota scene out there is hilarious. I love them.
It's rad. They're probably the market's biggest out there.
Yeah.
They're selling for 20-plus K out there.
So where'd you find Levi? On which app was it?
I found Levi on Facebook Marketplace.
Okay.
And they already listed low, and I was like, man, this thing's a goner. But I'll inquire anyways, even though I'm not shopping.
Uh-huh.
I inquired, and I had a chat with him, asked for his phone number. Listen, people, if you want a truck, you got to talk to a real human being.
Yeah.
You got to ask for their phone number because and get a conversation going. If you're just texting them, you're not really interested. You're just window shopping or whatever.
You're saying, pick up the phone and call.
Yeah, call them.
Yeah.
If you really want it, huge call difference. Them.
Really?
You know. Anyways, I spoke to Levi, and he's just
send a mail.
he had told me that
wait up front.
Tons of people have messaged him, and I was like the only one that asked for his phone number.
Uh-huh.
And so we had a conversation. He's like, dude, I'm just gonna sell it to you.
Wait,
like,
we had a conversation over dinner with him.
Oh yeah,
remember that?
We
had him on speakerphone
Prospector.
At Prospector having prime rib.
I feel like I saw you guys posted something about it. Yeah. Didn't you guys? We're all together and you guys were literally on speakerphone with this guy.
Yeah, well, the conversation was funny because he was like, the truck had sat for so long and he's like,
I wouldn't drive this thing 30 miles.
Yeah. Let alone
yeah.
to, like, he's 1,000 like, to
he's
California.
He's like, I hope you guys aren't going to try to do like fix it garage and drive this thing back to California.
Well, where'd you guys find
it?
We
all just laughed.
It was in Boise, Idaho.
So you guys found it in Idaho?
Idaho, yeah. But we were also, we had on our little calendar there, we had about a week blocked off that we wanted to do a boys trip. Just step out of the shop and go camping. And
well, that's the thing, right? Like, we all actually take our personal time and do trips. But then we realize, like, wait, we all do the same thing when we're all doing it individually. We need to do, like, a group one. Like, how fun would that be?
Mm-hmm.
We're doing the same thing anyways.
Yeah. And then, I mean, for this, it's like a solid adventure. Mm-hmm. To go all the way to Idaho.
I mean, all our eyes just lit up. It's just like, wait, road trip in our trucks to go buy a truck? Let's take the long way.
Yeah, yeah. What? And where is Levi right now?
He's rotten in the lot over there.
At least he's running closer to us.
Yeah.
He's coming over next week.
Is he running? He's running fine.
It's
right?
Running, yeah. It runs and fine. But transmission needs some work, and we need to reseal the head.
Okay.
And so do it properly.
All right. So
basically, on the trip, we bought this truck, and honestly, we think the head gasket blew the night that we went to see it.
Okay.
And we were actually running it for a little bit. You know, originally we knew that there was a sound coming from the clutch area, so it was already kind of known that we would be dropping the transmission and fixing what needed to be fixed there. But it wasn't until we actually picked up the truck and we were driving it off and it's billowing out white smoke that we realized that, like, there's going to be a whole nother job to this thing, you know, to get it roadworthy.
So you guys,
we contemplated towing it back and we're like, nah.
Yeah.
But you guys brought you guys knew kind of going into it. So you guys you had a shop on wheels, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the whole, we were prepared for sure. We had to source parts over there for the head gasket stuff because we weren't prepared for that.
Yeah.
But we had everything we needed. But,
what'd you guys come back with besides Levi?
We got a bunch of parts.
Bunch of shit, right? That's why you had that garage sale, no?
But this is going back to, like, I'm not actively looking to buy anything, but just self-aware of what's out there in the world. The second we pass through certain towns, I'm like, wait, I remember this truck. Or I remember these parts. Let me look up the ad, and I find the ad.
Uh-huh.
Next you know, I'm telling the guys, hey, just follow me. They're like, fuck. What is Adam? Where is he taking us now? You know, I'm just like not telling him where we're going.
Yeah.
We end up at this guy's house and he's just a Toyota hoarder. Like, he just has parts everywhere. And these guys are like, you know, everybody's like Mr. Burns, you know, like, excellent. like, yes. Anyways, we go and we're just like, shit, we want to buy everything, but we haven't even gotten to Boise, Idaho yet. So like, we just made a plan to come back. Yeah.
We knew we were getting up there too.
Yeah.
So God, we're just that like, guys, the one that was sold the truck, he was a hoarder too?
No.
He had a bunch of parts on
his
side.
Brother.
His brother was the hoarder.
Yeah. His brother worked on these trucks and Celicas and bounced, just like left the house. He's like, I'm out. I'm going to school, or moved. And was just like, just throw it all away, get rid of it, whatever. Buttercup.
Toyota, homie.
Yeah, what? He just asked us if we're going to be at the GFC event in Orange. Most likely, the GFC guys are pretty rad. We got invited to a fun little event in downtown LA where we camped at the LA Auto Show, and it was quite fun. Honestly, it's just really how do I say, V, you want to take over? About like...
What? Yeah, I was zoning out. No, I mean, yeah. Colby, we would love to go down there, and we'd love to visit Basil's garage as well. And yeah, we've been hanging out with the GFC guys, and they're really rad. Stoked to hear they're coming to California.
Yeah.
I think they're really big on community and stuff too, which is, you know, what you and I both love with the Overland Swap and all that.
We also got some stuff that we kind of want to work with them on.
Yeah,
on
for sure.
First-gen shit.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. I thought that was the dopest idea when you took off the 4Runner lid and you threw the GFC on
it. Dude, I've been wanting to do that before I even owned the GFC. I just had this, like, back to my kind of predicting what's valuable, or, like, seeing what's valuable out there. When I saw the V1... And then I saw the V2, the version 2 GFC come out, and it wasn't the space frame. I was like, oh, shit, space frame? it's gonna be way more valuable than the V2 and beyond, you know, because dude, it's fucking rad. It's somebody sat there or stood there and welded this frame together. Like, that takes time.
This is the one you have?
Oh, that's the one I have, yeah.
Yeah, you can see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and to me, that's just like aesthetically pleasing, you know, and just the way it's designed. I mean, anyone could weld those tubes together. It's pretty basic, but I like that whole idea. And so, sure enough, I bought a V1 because I've been looking for one for a while. And I flipped maybe 20 campers to buy that GFC.
Really?
So I probably paid nothing for my GFC.
Yeah.
You know, because I bought one camper. Here's the thing. I don't just flip stuff. I actually buy stuff, use it for a while,
then
learn from it, experience it, see how they feel, see what the pros and cons. And then I go and resell it, and it happens to be more than I paid for it.
Yeah.
You know, because the things I buy are technically or are very, like, very specific. So it's not like you're going to find one everywhere.
Yeah.
But anyways, it led to the GFC, and then Mark and V were exposed to it, and they're like, whoa, that thing is cool. And then it got really cool when I just popped it off my Tacoma and slapped it on V's, you know, Wilson. Toyota pickup, Wilson.
That's what kind of sparked the
whole thing.
And it just
fit
thing.
Like a glove.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it looked even better because... You know that generation of
the body lines.
Yeah, the body lines, the pickup, the square body. You know, the GFC is very like squared.
Now at this point, we've mounted the GFC on every truck we
pretty
own.
Much right.
Now it's on a two wheel drive.
That thing's sick though. Yeah. That was the best truck at the at that DTLA meet. What was up with that? I saw that they had like fake deers or some shit.
That's
just an LA Auto Show. Yeah.
Oh, so LA Auto Show did that?
Yeah. They didn't even know.
Or I don't know. I think it was a separate convention that was going on nearby, and they like infiltrated.
Really?
The camp zone.
Huh.
But yeah, that event, it was a tester for the LA Auto Show because they want to do something like that more in the future.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And also, I think GFC sent an invite, and it seemed like everyone was invited. And I think that's the goal. But LA Auto Show, I don't think were very specific, or they didn't have a lot of information. So it was actually a very like smaller guest list. But so hopefully nobody's bummed about that. I mean,
I tried to go. They said I couldn't go.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. That'd be fucked up. Nah, GFC is
four wheel drive only. No, I was two wheel drive. No, dude, I got two wheel drive.
Now they're the boys.
They recently have a Ford.
No, damn. I like them. I think.
Yeah. No, they love Fords.
I do think that out of all the camper shell brands right now, because it's a growing market and the competition is just getting like more and more aggressive. Mm-hmm. But they were first to market, which is always a benefit, and they really do good marketing. And their product it speaks for itself.
And I think it's kind of like the trucks we drive to.
Yeah.
Like they're super Spartan.
Dude,
simple,
this isn't GFC's podcast. This is fucking work. Squirrel Concepts. What the fuck?
Version 3.
Hey,
all right, let's go back. I want to hear the boy out front drinking 7 Jack and, what was it? Jack and Cokes?
Coke.
Yeah. What the hell is that shit?
Eric.
Yeah.
Was that his name?
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people were asking us, like, how did you put up with that, you know?
It was definitely hard at times.
You guys put up with a lot of shit.
But it's like, already. I mean, you pull up to a motel like that and, like, honestly, I don't know. Like, what do you,
I mean, honestly, okay, there's sketch happening all around, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the goal is to be okay,
in the middle of it.
Here's the thing.
That's the worst idea.
Dude. Okay, here's some advice for everybody. If you're scared to go to jail because you're not the jail type, right? You're not a criminal or you're not whatever. The goal is to be the tattoo artist because the tattoo artist is friends with fucking street 13th Street, 14th Street, 15th Street, 16th Street. I mean, like they're homies with everybody. They're the tattoo, like they're the middle ground.
Right? Yeah.
And so we're kind of like the middle ground at the hotel because we're actually normal and we're not, maybe we're weird because we dropped a motor and transmission in the parking lot. So we were weird in our own way, but without like drugs. But drugs. It's like, if we just kind of adopt like the weirdos hanging out already,
yeah,
then they're our homies and no one will bug us.
Yeah.
No one else would bug us because we have like the core of them with us.
I think that's, I
they
mean, that's
literally
what you guys
at
have
one
here.
Point, at one point they were like, yo, we're up all night. We'll watch out for your shit.
Yeah.
like they were cool. Stoked. Like, they're like, they were tweaking here's, already. Here's so we're going yeah. Are you serious?
Hell yeah.
Oh yeah. We had food with them, had beers with them.
Oh
yeah.
My. And this was in Idaho, right?
Yeah.
And it was called Cabana Inn.
And I don't know. I was just like, I found it late at night.
It was right next to Napa too, which was key.
That is clutch.
Yeah. Yeah, we were just looking for places to stay, and, you know, I don't think you can pull something like that in one of the nicer places, you know. But also, it's just how we like to travel, you know, we bum it, you know, it's like, it's not anything, you know, we're not higher than that. We actually really enjoy that, you know, kind of being in those places and those situations, but, which is why we really love this alleyway, because...
That's like, what I was going to say.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, there was
right
nothing
in.
More, like... not a better sight than when we had everybody park in the alley at our garage sale and everybody was just chill.
Yeah, the vibes are right.
You're just in the alley, you know, next to all kinds of trash and everybody's just chilling. Like there's nothing. It was like super great.
I feel like that's
grab
that's,
a 40 and hang out in the alley.
Yeah. And no one, and like I think to one of our first podcasts, V, you and I, we talked about it and you're just like, I'm kind of down to get down with the grunge, and as long as you're respectful and they're super respectful, no matter what, it's like if you seek trouble, you're gonna get trouble, right? But I remember when we threw the Overland Swap, the first one together, I was like, fuck, I don't know how it's gonna work out. And then we have Steve over there, like homie, just like, yeah, I'll clean up my space, and you know, it was just chill, like no bad vibes at all in the area.
I've always loved the grunge, or needed it a little bit.
Yeah, you know? Give yourself some. I don't know. It's not really street.
Maybe
street
it's like it's because I grew up in the exact opposite. You know,
just in Pasadena.
Yeah, dude. Just like I got everything I wanted.
Yeah.
You know, as a kid and stuff. And I don't know.
Dude, you had Charizard Pokemon card.
Damn, that shit's expensive, yeah, huh?
Dude, you just bought it straight up.
Yeah. You didn't
even like, find
I want the Charizard. I'm over there stealing it from my neighbor. Like, hey, let's look at it until there's Pokemon cards. He's like, fuck, there's like 5 cards missing. I'm like, I don't know.
No, we're joking. You're joking. But, but back to the cabana, I guess, yeah, it worked out. Like, when I know it was bad because I called to order pizza. And I was like, oh, we're at the Cabana Inn. Here's the address. Like, no. I was like,
really?
What? They're like, we don't need the address. We know exactly where it is. Yeah, and I was like, no. Oh. Yeah, I was like, oh, shit.
I think the best part was having, oh, what was his name? He drove by in his truck and gave us the...
Two Plank on Instagram?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's a squirrel follower?
Yeah.
Yeah, he actually drove by the lot for a little diagnosis.
And they gave us some gift cards to his restaurant.
Well, he owns a restaurant there in Boise, you know. So we ended up making a couple of local friends. This shop out there.
That's sick.
Wheeler Dealer, 208 Wheeler Dealer. We were driving by and we saw like 3 Toyotas like parked out front of the shop and we were like, oh man, those, or it was me and Chai we were driving by.
It's like a truck slash pawn.
Yeah, whatever. We
had to like homies right away.
Yeah, we had to like drop in there and ended up meeting those guys. But yeah, the general reaction of like, oh, you're staying at the Cabana Inn, you know, was like kind of like common.
Yeah. That's pretty epic. Yeah. I think the fact that you stayed there, you rolled the dice. You're like, let's just, it's cheap, seems chill. Then you get there and obviously you're surrounded by like a ton of different personalities and you're like, how's this gonna go, really good or really bad?
It kind of reminds us of the alley.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So it kind of felt like home, and then the truck, no one messed with the truck, huh?
No
parts were stolen, nothing. It was actually just hilarious, and if anything, just a little bit annoying.
Yeah.
I mean, you're trying to get a bolt you can't reach, and you got this guy like
talking shit. Yeah,
like he's getting drunker and drunker, but as the day goes on, you're like, oh my god, he's talking at his ass. But it's all right. Because he's like, the way he speaks is like very like
abrupt.
I'm right.
Yeah.
You know, like, listen to me. And we're like, no, you're not.
You're wasted.
Yeah.
He probably just scrolls Facebook for hours, finds every news article possible.
I think my best moment with him was we were, you know, V's working with his shirt off.
Typical.
Typical V. And I mean, he's sexy, right? God, but yeah. But anyways,
Mark lit up over there.
What's his name again? Eric?
Eric.
I'm watching Eric watching V, right? So I'm like, he's just sitting in the chair to lead back. And he's turning red. And he's like about to crack up and laugh. He's like, hey, do you know what your tattoos mean? And V's like, yeah, this is like, it means friendship and peace. I got this in Bali and I got this one in Philippines. I got this one in Thailand. He's like, bro, all of those are Russian. And V's eyes just like, it could be. I don't know, actually.
He said it super matter of fact.
Oh, like, I was convinced. I was like,
he's like,
yes, give me more ammo, Eric. Like, I'm convinced they're Russian. So if anybody knows Russia or the Russian culture, be sure to ask for V's tattoos so we can verify if they're Russian.
That was probably some of the coolest content that I've seen, aside from the cabana. But when you guys went on that trip, it was V, Chai, you, Adam, right?
Yeah.
And you guys went, was it Thailand?
Yeah.
And then, so are you Thai?
Yeah. Actually, yeah. Three of us out of the four here are Thai.
The only one that's not Thai is me.
Which is really crazy.
You're the token white boy.
But I take more heat than fucking V. Yeah. You can't handle the heat.
Yeah.
But that's another crazy
thing.
The
tattoo, that's was some of the coolest content that I've seen, was how spiritual the tattooing was over there.
Yeah,
and I think you got yours. You got yours. Did you get yours?
Yeah.
Oh, Chai got like four sessions in one.
Are you serious? Yeah. And so, what is why is it so like?
Well, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, something about that trip felt like a kind of, I don't know, like a homecoming trip or like a birthright kind of feeling. Like, even though I had been to Thailand so many times as a kid, you know, going back with Chai and Adam, like, and we traveled through the north on motorcycles, and we actually crossed the whole country. Like, just we were in Bangkok and then down south and
different transportations, but
the point I was trying to make is, when I was a kid growing up Thai, there was no other Thai kids. Like, I didn't know a single one.
Yeah,
you know. And then,
Thai as in Thailand, not as in Taiwan.
Yeah,
people get that confused still.
Really? Taiwanese? I feel like I've never heard a Taiwanese. Yeah.
People say
Thai.
Thailandese, actually.
Yeah, that's a pretty common one.
Is it?
I think I've never heard that either. I feel like that's a translation in Spanish. No, when you try to say like, oh, you're Thai, but then they want to say Thailand, and then they end up saying Thailandese
or Taiwan.
But Taiwan is Taiwan.
Yeah.
But then when they try to say Thai, they say Thailand. Oh, Thailandia. Thailandese.
I don't know, dude. When V and I first met, I was like, yo, like, dude, I'm Mexican.
You're dark.
And he's like, yeah, I'm Thai. I'm like, there's probably so many similarities. And he's like, nah, fool. And I was like, damn, fuck me, right? But Mexican culture is just so different. It's so like, I feel like the new generation is different, but like the typical, as we all know, old generations of all of our ethnicities, they're just so like blunt and like,
I see a lot of similarities with Filipino culture.
That's a fact.
Yeah, but Thai is very much more toned down and kind of mellow and, I don't know, peaceful.
I feel like spiritual. You guys definitely have more like spiritual.
Thai people are very accommodating.
Okay.
And it's good and bad. Accommodating mean you spend your life savings on a Thai restaurant here in the States, and instead of serving an authentic, you know, Chinese Thai broccoli or something in a dish, you're going to put regular broccoli because your customers aren't eating the Asian broccoli. And that's where they like, okay, I'm going to accommodate that by not wasting any more Asian broccoli and put American broccoli. So they eat it, you know, and it's like, that's accommodating, but it also takes away authenticity, right? And that's why flavors are dimmed down and not authentic. But anyways.
Yeah. Most Thai food that you have, it's like pretty, I feel like it's for, if you don't go to eat Thai food regularly, similar to like Mexican food, if you don't know where to go for good Mexican food, you go to Supermex and you're stoked on it. Most Thai food restaurants, you go somewhere and it's like, oh, Thai food, like this has to be authentic.
Yeah.
But there's definitely holes in the wall. I think that, what did we eat here recently? You brought it here It was Thai food in Long Beach. It was pretty good, no?
Probably what we had for lunch today.
Yeah.
What was it called? There's a Thai restaurant. It's called Elephant Thai
Kitchen.
That's
what it was. Yeah. And you guys, that's pretty authentic?
They're pretty damn close to, like, authentic. Sound. I mean.
Yeah, they're pretty close by. I mean, I ordered Thai boat noodle soup, which is, like, just a brown soup with meat in it. But it's very, okay, it costs, like, $15, $14.50.
For a soup?
But in Thailand, it's, like, 73 cents.
Yes.
Which is fucked up.
And they give you a bullet.
Yeah, and you're like, God damn it. So, but it's such a very specific, like, simple flavor that you're just like, man, I got to have it.
We are going to take a quick break because we want to show someone some love. And that someone is Nomad Wheels. Nomad Wheels not only is a huge supporter of this podcast, Easy Supplies, Roaming Lost, all of us, but they're just an amazing group of people putting out amazing product. Now, if you haven't heard of Nomad Wheels, go ahead and check them out at nomadwheels.com. You follow them on Instagram, YouTube. They're always putting out really, really good content. And we're excited. We're excited to just be doing another year with Nomad Wheels. And if you're looking for a wheel to complement your Tacoma, Subaru, Land Cruiser, man, you name it. There's so many options that they have. They have fitments for everything, and they just released their heavy-duty lineup as well. So Kingston with his Ram all built out with the Bowen Customs truck bed and the Scout. He's been running some other wheels, so he just switched over to Nomad because they're now available. So if you're looking for a new set of wheels, go ahead. You want to pull away from the faux bead lock, gold, everything that we all know so well in this industry. Check out Nomad Wheels. You'll love them. They're clean. They're going to complement your rig, not take away from it. Get back into it with Squirrel Concepts.
Going back to our Boise conversation, or
yeah,
Levi, because we keep going awry. Where were we? We were talking about we were in the parking lot.
Yeah, parking lot with Eric and
next to Napa. You guys got that thing dialed in.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and then, so I only had 2 days with the guys to wrench.
Okay.
So once we dropped the trans, or actually, we just basically tackled it. Chai and V tackle the transmission while Mark and I tackle the motor. So we had our own tasks. And I think that worked really well because we were just focused on what we had to do. So I had 2 days to go ham on it.
A day and a half.
Yeah, we did it in a day and a half. Yeah, and because we had to wait for the head gasket. That's why it took so long.
Mm.
A day and a half took so long, right? But it took long because we had to order our new head gasket, which we were anticipating to do.
You got that to do Napa?
No. Toyota.
Peterson Toyota.
And it got shipped out to Boise?
Well, yeah. They're in Boise.
Oh, sick. Damn, that's incredibly fast, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we got lucky there. I had to fly out. So my, Chai drove my truck back home from Boise.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I was bummed to, like, leave because, like, the whole, like, I wanted to drive it back too, you know?
And, yeah.
But, you know, they continued with the mission, which was...
To get it back home.
And, you know, honestly, the transmission was screaming in first, second, and third gear. It was super buttery smooth in fourth gear.
Uh-huh.
Most likely being, like, the output shaft bearing or something in the transmission. So, yeah, I mean, Mark and Levi killed it driving 2 hours off-road in the mountains with this noisy-ass transmission.
Broke a fucking
camper shell. I mean,
that shit popped off,
the truck.
Right?
Yeah, he sent it, jumped the truck, and the camper was, like, barely bolted down.
Uh-huh.
It bounced off the truck and broke.
Are you serious?
Didn't scratch the truck.
Did you post that? I don't remember if I saw that.
Well, the thing is, we were trying to keep it in fourth gear because that was the gear that was, like, the smoothest.
Buttery smooth. So I was doing, like, 45 on this dirt road. And it's like, I hit a fucking cattle grade. And if you ever, like, drive dirt roads enough, you know, like, right in the center is where the big ruts are. So I went off to the right. But the right had the biggest fucking rut. And it, like, popped. It sent the back end probably like 6 or 8 inches off the ground and sideways.
So sick.
Trucking.
Yeah.
It was good.
But yeah, overall, like, the wrenching part of it went really well. Like, I think the four of us on it together, and we were in such a zone that, like, I mean, I don't know. I mean, we sometimes get like that here when we're working on like a small project together, but like knowing that we were away from home, we didn't have much time, and we had a mission that we had to complete. Like, the four of us were just like everybody kind of just doing something,
you guys really had to band together and rely on each other. Like, everyone went on that trip, but everyone was going to be doing something.
Yeah.
I mean, we did full cooling system, head gasket, all the intake stuff.
Did the brakes.
Adjusted the carburetor, did the brakes.
Damn, really?
Fucking the transmission, the clutch.
I mean, honestly, we probably all did...
All the fluids.
Yeah, we probably did better
than your... Put all brand new lights in it.
Yeah, like, I think we did...
Headlights?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, Chai had to, like, solder the tail lights back together because they were literally chopped in half.
Damn.
Somebody just spliced it. Anyways, I think, honestly, our work in that parking lot was probably on par with an actual normal general automotive shop.
Mm-hmm.
But to chew, like, squirrel form, all we think about is, like, like, in our minds... Honestly, it's probably going to hold up fine.
Yeah. You know, in your mind, you're like, oh, I can't wait to bring this back and really do it right.
And yeah. Like, and like,
you guys probably did it right the first time, anyways. But
yeah, but like, we just can't, like, we didn't machine the head. We didn't go through, we didn't like deck the surface. Like, we didn't, like, that's what we want to do. So yeah, I mean, Levi, even
that's
though
what we tried to do, we messaged a couple machine shops, like, in the area to see if they could, you know, when you do a head gasket, like, sometimes the blocks can get warped or the heads can get warped, you know, and you want a machine that's super flat so you have a good seal. So we weren't able to find a machine shop that would do it for us in time. So what we did was just put a new head gasket on, put the head back on. And this was survival
mode.
Cleaned
it really well.
Cleaned it really well.
I think I spent 3 hours scraping.
Really? Yeah, this was like...
In the sink in the hotel?
Yeah. No, just outside with a razor blade.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, this is what most shops do in general.
Yeah. Yeah, see, honestly, you guys are doing, like you mentioned, like a shop's work, like a normal shop.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing anyways.
That's what they're doing anyways. And to us, they're Band-Aids because, like, longevity-wise, it's probably not going to be good, but you're not going to notice it in the next 5 to 10,000 miles maybe.
Yeah.
So it's you're just not going to really blink an eye.
Yeah.
To us, though, we're just like, nah, this should last 100,000 miles, not 10,000 miles.
You guys are, I mean, realistically, when I see you guys put shit together, you guys are trying to get it to OEM spec, like as if it left the parking lot at like 19, whatever the fuck, like 70.
OEM Plus.
OEM Plus.
Because you should just change your name. Squirrel Concepts, fuck that shit. OEM Plus. Super Corpo. I think
it's probably already taken.
Probably. Yeah.
You know, I can't even spell squirrel sometimes.
Sometimes?
Yeah. I'm just like, God damn it, I can't spell squirrel.
Comes up with the weirdest passwords for shit, too.
Dude, like, this fool?
Fuck. Got that squirrel brain.
He does, dude. Sometimes I'm always trying to Google like Squirrel Concepts to get here because I forget the fastest way and I'm like, God damn it. Is this shit still not on Google Maps? Yeah.
It's on Google Maps.
It is on Google Maps.
Is it?
Actually,
yeah.
As a travel
maybe
agency.
Not far away, but like.
As a travel agency? Is it really?
Yeah.
Classic as hell. Hey, by the way, congrats. Didn't you get your business shit passed?
Yeah. So, I mean, as of right now.
Oh, yeah.
Tell
the peeps. What does it mean to have Mark, Adam, and you together? Chai, obviously, as a new member, which is also super rad, but what does that mean to Squirrel Concepts?
I don't know. I mean,
still small business.
Business. That's like a big topic because Squirrel wouldn't be anywhere close to where it is without Mark and Adam, you know, and even though Squirrel started in my parents' garage with me doing woodwork, you know, it was like it's a completely different animal now because of what, you know, these guys have brought to the table and stuff.
Yeah.
But I mean, to have them as business partners it's like the best thing I could have ever asked for because we learn from each other in so many ways. We got a lot of good things going for us in terms of communication, kind of like setting the groundwork for this thing to last a very, very long time, you know.
Plus I think a lot of like because all of us have never actually worked in a shop. Automotive shop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We run things a little different because we are not preconditioned to do things the same way that everybody else would. Like most people that work in a shop for 10, 15 years and then go out and start their own. Yeah. They model it after the shops that they
100%. And that's what we see up and down.
That's honestly a really good point that honestly I never thought of because it's like, we didn't really have anything to compare it to.
No.
You know, so
we're just doing it the best way we know how.
Yeah, exactly. So we're just building this, you know, I think fairness is one of the better words to use of how to like just be the most fair to all the people that are, you're involved with.
Yeah.
Like, for example, nobody is anybody's boss here.
Yeah, you guys mentioned, you, I think, might have said that first. You're like, we're all operators of Squirrel Concepts.
Yeah.
We're not employees of Squirrel Concepts.
Yeah, and I think that's pretty unique. You tell that to people, and I've told it to people, and they're kind of taken back at first. Like, oh, like, how does that work for you as, like, a business model, you know? But it's, I think there's a lot of really good things that come out of that, you know? Like
100%.
I think it's because we have a really creative business model that all that stuff can come up. Like, everybody has their own licenses for individual stuff.
Yeah, yours is Lost Nut, right?
Yeah.
What is yours, Adam?
Mine is Adam K. Masters, commercial actor.
Yep. Hey, dude, I'm an independent contractor, dude. I'm like a substitute teacher.
What's up? I'm your teacher. How does it come up with this shit?
So be sure to pay me in cash.
Preferably, yeah, preferably cash. Everything off books, please.
Yes, back to small businesses. Like, honestly, like Mark said, we don't have shop experience. We're all doing this through trial and error, and we really appreciate all of our clients who understand patience. Who understand that, you know, we don't have capital project. Like to just like go out and buy $10,000 worth of parts. So when we ask you, you know, hey, like, you know, your bill is going to be $5,000. If you can leave a deposit of $2,500, that helps us cover the parts. You know what I mean? And then at least, you know, you just pay the labor at the end. And it's pretty standard stuff like that. But it really goes a long way for a small business because we really don't want to ask for anything, you know, but we have to, because when we don't have capital of some, you know, capital to work with in that way, we just have to do it with, go back to just being honest. Like I tell everybody how like every good mechanic out there is basically retiring. There's no good mechanics. And like, it's funny that we're trying to fill in that void of that missing void, you know?
Mm-hmm. I can see that. That's very valid, dude.
It's like, and we want to be approachable.
Yeah, but there's you guys doing what you guys do here. And then there's like Victor, this 85-year-old in like Placentia that's like been doing this forever. And he's like, I'm kind of over it. But there's like this missing void in between of a shop that's doing what you guys do meticulously. And then Victor, who's been doing it for like his whole life.
You know? He's ready to retire, dude.
Yeah, he's done.
He's donezo. And he, unfortunately, there was nobody young that was curious on how this stuff works. Yeah. You know, there's no young person wanting to be a machinist yet. If you're young and you want to be a machinist, you have the world in front of you. Like you can literally do whatever you want. You know what I mean? So yeah, the opportunity is out there, you know, and like if the internet goes down and you're in tech, oh shit.
Like, well, I mean, we've already seen that. You guys I don't know if you guys follow like that kind of world, but like Netflix, Facebook, Twitter, Google, they're fucking cutting their staff like in half, like 20%, 50%, which is gnarly.
Yeah.
But, and those real world expectations of like, I have a really good rapport of brands I've worked with and I've done X, Y, and Z, but it's all very digital. Sometimes it's nice to just rely on like grit and, you know, experience of what you can do to build a business.
Using your mitts.
Yeah, use your mitts to, like, I remember when I left, like, my first corporate job, I was, like, I'm fucking scared. But at the same time, I was, like, same thing. Flipping bikes, you fucking make a buck. You know how to make a buck. Mm-hmm. It's an issue when you don't know how to really sell something, and let alone sell yourself. Like, this is what I can do. This is my experience. This is why I'm worth every cent that someone's going to give to you.
I tell everybody I'm a really shy person, but if somebody thinks of me as like a people person or outgoing, I'm like, that's just me surviving.
Yeah,
that's you're just out there to put like yourself I know how to be in a certain environment to survive it.
Yeah, I think that's fact. That's probably all of us. Because what were you, Mark? You were a brewmaster at Monkish.
I was a head brewer for Monkish and for the brewery in Anaheim.
Okay. That was previous to Squirrel?
Yeah, I brewed for like 10 years, 11 years Damn. Before I did this.
Also, should we talk about the beer?
Yeah. Which beer?
The beer.
Squirrely
the
beer.
Should we talk about it?
Yeah.
Is it happening or is it not happening?
We got some stuff in the works, but we'll hold on it for a minute until we actually get
I'm excited
it, like,
for
planned.
That.
Yeah.
And like, honestly, the reason Squirrel is Squirrel and it works the way we do is because we're not thinking about that kind of content. We're not thinking about being a brand or anything. We're just trying to be genuine human beings who give you honest, like who are honest about like what's in front of you. You know, it's like, hey, like we can put a Band-Aid on this repair. It'll cost you X amount, but you're going to do it again in, you know, X amount of years or miles or whatever it is. And it's like, you could
do
it right
there.
Yeah.
Like, did you guys even do, do you guys have a business model? Like actually a business plan?
No.
No.
Not, you were tripping, you were tripping me
trial
out.
And error,
this
trial
fool
and error.
Says business plan and I'm like, I don't even have a business plan. Like, you know, you guys actually have a, no. Yeah.
It's other people like who have businesses or who starting businesses or no business. They use these kinds of words around you. And so it's naturally you're just like, oh yeah, my business plan.
Yeah.
But in reality,
my capital
like,
and my equity.
Yeah. No, I mean, Squirrel,
we're very nimble as a company. So it's like we can have a garage sale when we had fucking load up two truckloads of parts that we've never done before.
You guys can
and then
drop a t-shirt when you want.
Yeah. And then the next 2 months we're dropping motors and putting in trans.
Yeah.
And then we dropped some t-shirts. It's like, I don't know, we'd kind of find our stuff when we need it.
I think for a brand like you guys, even Easy Supplies, structure feels like you have to. Every time you talk to someone in the outside realm that's not doing what we're doing, they're always like, you got to structure your brand. You got to fucking do all of this. Like, you got to do it more by the books.
Then you think about that shit too much.
It's a slow killer.
And then you're actually not doing what you need to do to succeed.
Yeah. Right. I mean, I feel like for long-term goals, obviously certain things have to be put in play, but I also feel like structure is a slow killer. Like, it is nice that we are so nimble. We can throw an overland swap in January if we wanted to, with a week's notice, which
we
fucking
might.
Do.
Should we?
Yeah, we're going to do it, I think.
Yeah, we are in
and we're not going to talk about it till a week before.
Yeah.
I mean, the difference is when we have meetings, it's not about like, okay, what's our budget for our next like content thingy or whatever people do, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, no, we're going to sit around each other and talk about how something bugs us. Like, why did you leave this dirty? You know, we're not talking about budgets.
Are you talking about that shit?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Dude, it's the best.
Who's the dirtiest out of the U3?
Me, for sure.
Are you? Yeah.
I was like, don't let us see it.
We want to make a shirt for him that has Linus on the back of it.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
But, messy I mean, going back to that, it's like, we're not dumb. We understand that like having a fun, epic, like, you know, joint homie camping road trip to go buy a truck is content, no doubt. But look, we don't spend money on content. Like, content actually brings us money, right? In a way that like we're bringing something home that we can sell to an interest, you know, an interested client or buyer or follower or something. And so it's like, ultimately we gain from, you know, just doing what we love to do. You know,
the originality of it is, I mean, you guys know exactly what you do when you did that whole trip for Levi. Technically, when you guys brought it back, you guys, I'm like 85% sure you guys could have just sold it the day you got back. Just from the content alone of you guys naturally doing what you guys do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's not the point. Right?
I'm just saying, though. Because like he said, what Adam was saying about like content, it's like you guys aren't thinking pre-planned. Like, okay, we got to have X amount of videos. Our website needs to be pumping out X, Y, and Z. We have to have our full shop of all parts laid out.
And I think that's how we work so well together, because I think we all just subliminally like realize that shit.
Mm-hmm.
And we all don't really talk about it. We just do the shit that needs to get done to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it helps that we're all like, we all have kind of like artistic, like photography sense and like, shit, that's funny. Like,
this guy's a freaking actor. Yeah. Straight up. You are. Well, I've seen you on a billboard.
I'm just surviving.
Yeah. I mean, you think about your background. It's the fucking craziest thing ever. Like, brewmaster. actor.
Do it. You don't want to know my resume.
I don't even want to know.
No, dude, I was my first job was a locksmith.
Are you serious?
That's
sick.
Damn,
that's I used to develop 35 millimeter film at like Walgreens.
What was your first job?
Damn, well, I mean, first job, like high school, yeah, dishwasher probably.
Really?
Or, I don't know, helping out in my uncle's restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
I was cutting carrots since I was a kid, but
I think my first... I cooked in a sorority when I was in college.
No way.
Hell yeah. Did
you get my first real job was cleaning up a gym.
Did you?
For a free membership.
For very little pay.
For what? What was it?
It was just some local gym in my hometown.
Okay.
And it was like... they called me the manager, but it was like...
they just gave you the title.
You were, yeah. You were the tallest one.
I was like the only employee, really.
To look up to you.
I would like clean up the place.
That's hilarious.
Dude, my first job was in middle school when I worked for that car artist. I mean, that felt like a job.
What the fuck was that about? You brought it up.
Like, dude, you ever had briefly? Like young teenagers knock on your door?
Yeah.
And they're just like, hi, my name is Adam. I'm from New Vision, and I'm selling these cookies and da-da-da-da-da to fund a trip to da-da-da-da.
You did that?
Dude. I must have weighed like 60 pounds walking around with a 25-pound box full of $8 cookies and gummy bears and peanut brittle. And yeah.
What was the sales pitch?
Yeah, it was that. It was like, hi, I'm Adam. I'm from New Vision and we're a teenager.
It was that. It's ingrained in his mind, dude.
And it's fucked up. So the reason it was my hustle because it's like a box costs $7. This is way back then, right? That's mm-hmm. probably like equivalent to $17 now. I don't know. But I would make $1.25 for every $7 box I sold.
Damn.
So I was, of course, you know, I was second top salesman. And my friend at the time was number one. And we would just buy all of our own stuff. I wanted a skateboard, so I bought my own skateboard. You know what I mean? I wanted a fishing pole or a fishing float tube to, you know... to catch more fish, so I bought my own. You know what I mean? It's like all these little things. And yeah, dude, Barry, well, dude. His Adam name was Barry, dude. He was a fat white guy with a big fat mustache. Looked like a pedophile for sure. Pick up all these young teenagers in his white ass 16 passenger van.
Are you serious?
Oh, dude, after school, he would pick us up and then like just drop us off in these neighborhoods.
Did you even know your parents?
No.
This was going to be kind of my question, but I didn't want to sound super weird. Bad. I was like, did your parents know about this?
Dude, my parents could care less what I was doing. Are you kidding me? Like, anyways.
Chai's just laughing in the corner. He's like, that's why Adam walks funny.
Oh, dude. Hell no, dude. I'm probably like, yeah. Oh. He would have got his, yeah.
What was his name, Barry?
Barry, dude.
Barry,
dude, one day he was like, hey, okay, today you guys all got the day off. Whee! We're taking a field trip to my house. Pulled up into a mansion, bro. A mansion.
Uh-huh.
He opens the garage, and I've never seen so much peanut brittle in my life. Like, you know, he just imported all these cookies and gummy bears for like a dollar in China or something, you know?
Yeah.
And here all of us, like teenagers, like little kids, middle schoolers, we're just all impressed.
Yeah.
We're just like, wow, look at this tower of cookies. Yeah. And look at your 18 car garage and your mansion. And we're just impressed. We don't realize that we're being...
That shit's kind of sad.
Ripped off.
It is kind of sad.
It was extremely sad. But I got my skateboard. I got my fishing pool. I got my... whatever I wanted to buy. Hustle. You know, yeah.
Learn to sail.
Oh,
I mean, that's probably the best thing if you can do retail. I remember as like a first job, like it's clutch to be young and selling face to face.
Dude.
Because that teaches you a lot of mannerisms about like
your personality. But from like 7 a.m. to 3 p.m., I was selling candy bars out of my backpack and gambling between each period.
Gambling what?
Quarters.
What, like dice and shit?
Yeah, so like if you had $5 and quarters in your hand, I had $5 and quarters in my hand, you would say heads, I would say tails, we throw it up and all of the tails would be mine. Or you played quarters where you like the closest one who throws it against the wall wins that quarter.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but the trick was if you threw it against the wall and it leaned against the wall, then it was like you owe them a dollar or something, and you just became a master, right? I was like, every throw I would just lean it against the wall.
We should have that as the next event for Overland Swap, like play dude, quarters and shit, play dice. We're just super.
But then like it was getting hectic because I was walking around each class with a backpack full of candy bars that I was flipping.
Dude, and notebooks.
Notebooks. No, but like, so my backpack was heavy and my pockets were full of quarters. But mind you,
this is a cartoon.
Yo,
dude.
Mind you, I was in all the gate classes. I was super smart.
Uh-huh.
I had straight A's all through elementary, all through middle school, high school. When I discovered skateboarding, kind of it turned around.
Yeah.
But yeah, dude.
It was, you were like eloquent in the world of school, but you also had that grit and hustle.
Yeah, you know, it's unfortunate because I probably would have had an extremely successful career if somebody just encouraged me. That's all it took.
Yeah,
but that's somebody was just like, saying, "Hey, you could do whatever you want to do, and you can be what you want to be, or go apply yourself here or there." Like, I probably would have done it.
I would consider what we're doing more successful than somebody got.
Well, that's what we were just talking about. Like, you maybe could have landed a job at like Netflix or another tech company, but I feel like that shit's almost scary.
Oh, yeah. When I first had my first an official 9-to-5 after high school, right?
Where was that at?
In Corona. Uh-huh. I worked for a sublimation company.
Sick.
Yeah. So I did a lot of like, color correction and then graphic design.
So you know graphic design
too? Yeah, it was just self-taught.
What?
Self-taught. Just
be busting out Squirrel Concepts merch.
No, I was 18 years old, 19 years old.
Adam's got some stuff coming. He's got a sick
show. Oh yeah, so beyond the Cabana Boys merch drop.
Which is on me, and I've been really hustling for V over here. He's like, fuck you, dude.
I have my own like random iteration of a shirt that I want to drop too. I'll just give you a hint. It's very JDM. So it has this like JDM vibe, and I think all, you know, we just love cars and stuff, but I think I want to do a JDM twist on that whole scene, but with Toyotas and trucks, and wait till you see the animated characters are pretty funny.
I want to scope that. I think illustration, like everything you guys have been putting out, clothing wise and aesthetically, has been on point.
That's also kind of the beauty of Squirrel, right? Like, we can do whatever we really want to do.
Yeah, no, you know, one can. That's what I'm saying.
There's a blank canvas. There's no rules. There's, you know, it's whatever makes you happy and you want to put it into play.
Like, yep.
You should go for it.
Like, this trip to Levi, it's like, if you guys were structured differently with some investors and, you know, capital behind you, and it's like, hey, this is where we're going to spend our money to go buy this truck, you're like, nope. And you're just like.
Well, I mean, like, even big. Like big reputable brands, I'm not going to say their name, reached out to us and want to do something with us. But then you have to kind of take it as like, we're not going to jump on board just because the opportunity is there.
Yeah.
It's really like, well, what's the intention? What's behind it? What's going on here? Is it genuine? Is it cool? Like, cool in the sense that, like, does it make sense?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or is it just for their benefit?
Actually, do in our normal like lives. Like,
I feel like if
change ourselves to appease, cater to something to
for a check. Advertise. You're not going to sell your shit out for a check.
Yeah.
Like, I could totally picture, you know, Volcom knocks on your door and is like, hey, we want to do a collection with Squirrel Concepts. We want to shoot in your garage and we want to put out a full blown like line of clothes. What the fuck does Volcom have to do with Squirrel Concepts do? Yeah. Like, you know, I'd rather see you guys partner with like Duralast batteries or like, you know, I mean, and that's probably a huge check and a really hard thing to do, but it's like,
plus damn, we get free batteries.
That's
man.
What I'm saying. Like, that's fucking hardcore.
Give me free batteries, man. That shit's expensive.
We're definitely very open to collaborations though. You know, it's like working with other people that are just as passionate as we are. Is like a really special thing, you know? So it's not like we're closed off to that. Definitely not.
But yeah, we got
it. It's just like, yeah, want to keep it real too and not sell out. But
make it organic. Make it so it makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, we just have like crazy ambitions. Like, I think down the road, when kinda we become like
weekend
more
vibes by Coronado Brewing.
You know, I've always had this fantasy of like this garage space with a really specific pop-up like Thai street food restaurant.
Yeah, I like that vibe.
And I actually want to do it out of like a Toyota pickup.
Okay.
And, like a camper shell, build out the back, and it's just a very simple kind of like, you can imagine, right? Like, you just somebody's whipping something up out of like a little wok or something, like out of a back of a Toyota pickup.
In the shop.
I don't know, or attached to the shop or somewhere on the shop. But the whole point is like
in the alley.
Yeah. I mean, the whole point is squirrel can be anything.
Yeah.
You know, like we have these other visions and things we want to do, but the reality is when there's 1,000 pieces of your motor that blew up on my tool bench, I'm focused on like making sure it's done properly. Yeah. I can't think about a Thai restaurant. I can't think about, you know, my JDM shirt that I want to release, you know, and all this stuff, because just like at the end of the day, it's like we want to make sure we do the best we can.
Yeah, I think that's to that point. You guys are so hyper focused, but for what you guys all do, like day to day shit, you can't really multitask. Like physically, not really, and especially even like mentally, you guys are probably fucking tired. I mean,
you know the best. It's like,
yeah,
hard like, to even get a response.
Like, you gotta send me a friend request on Facebook before you respond to my text. I was like, what the fuck? No, but that's part of it. It's like, I appreciate that too. I appreciate like your hands are dirty. Like you're not.
But focused. It's also like, and I think customers can attest to this, is like, when we have a project at hand that we're working with a customer, we are talking to that customer almost once or twice a day,
yeah,
on their projects.
Yeah. 'Cause
that is, I think, the importance and like being there with that customer. 'Cause I don't think most mechanic shops do that, where it's like super, we're sending videos and like, dude, we fucking found this, or like, I don't know. It's
communication.
Yeah.
Trust. People are trying to be friends with us.
Transparency.
Transparency, ultimately.
Yeah. That's like one of the things we were talking about before. We fuck
up. Yeah. We own up to it. And the thing is, we learned that I just had to pull a motor out again because I put something in wrong.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, but I'll call it out. You know what I mean? It's like, it's not, it's trial and error and it's learning, but I can't be bummed that, oh, I gotta take this motor back out, I just installed it. It's more like, okay, cool, I won't do this again. You know, it's trial and error.
Yeah,
and it's like, I made that mistake, and most likely anyone else who does this job won't have to.
Yeah.
Because I went through it, now I learned it. As long as they ask me before they do it, that I can kind of give them some pointers or some advice, like, hey, don't forget to do this because I made that mistake.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Communication's pretty big.
Yeah. So I think it's, it, for me, because you got to remember, I have another job. V and Mark have more eggs in the basket than I do,
mm-hmm,
when it comes to like amplifying and growing the business. I grow squirrel in a different way. I grow squirrel by experience, by learning, making mistakes, and trying to figure out like who and what, not only do I want to be, but how, what, whoever I want to be is benefiting
the big picture,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because we ultimately have that same vision of like not trying to be perfect, but we damn try to be, in a sense, right? We know that mistakes are going to happen. And luckily, we have clients who understand that.
Yeah, you know? Mark. This is Mark's first. We're going to do underrated, overrated.
Okay.
You, why you
should pick this one.
Yeah, you did, dude. No, I'm kidding. Okay. This is Mark. These are Mark's underrated, overrated topics.
They're good.
We're going to start with poodles.
Okay.
Poodles?
Yeah. Underrated, overrated as a dog.
Wait, doesn't Danny have a poodle?
I don't know. So what are we going to say?
Danny's parents have a poodle.
Overrated.
I think underrated. I live with a poodle for a long time. And
wait, a little poodle or a big poodle? There's two poodles.
Big poodle.
Those things kind of scary,
dude. This dog got the shits one time.
Ugh.
And it literally was smart enough to know that it needed to poop in the toilet. And it shat all over the toilet.
Are you serious?
Not in the toilet, but not, on it.
Well, yeah, because it's not tall enough to get in it.
The lid's
but it
closed.
Was like, it was trying to get in it. Like, it was all over the top and everything. I was like, damn, dude.
Yeah, he tried.
That's fucking...
Poodles are smart.
Well, somebody must have left their shit and not flushed it.
I gotta say, and blamed it on the poodle.
I gotta say, underrated.
All right, so underrated, overrated.
I say overrated.
Poodles? Bro, let's talk about cats.
No, we'll get there. All right, burritos or tacos?
I'm a burrito. First off, I'm a horrible burrito and burger eater. Like, mine always fall apart. Like, my burrito will drip in my hands. My burger, like the tomato, for sure is going to slip out. I don't know what it is. Like, I'm good with rice because that's all I eat.
So we're giving you tacos. You're going to have to take a taco for it?
No, I like burritos, though, because I only always eat half, and I love saving the other half.
It is kind of dank.
Yeah.
V?
Yeah, burritos. Especially fish.
Bigger
burritos.
The better.
Bigger the better, yeah.
Street tacos.
Yeah, tacos sure. Are fire.
Street tacos.
Okay, this is a good one. Suzuki Sidekicks.
Ooh, my friend just bought one.
Underrated.
Underrated. They're tight.
They're sick as hell. Yeah. I think Suzuki...
You know, actually, I opened the hood because he asked me to look at it.
Uh-huh.
I was like, all these ASIN parts. I was like, this is a Toyota.
Technically, they're both Japanese, right? Suzuki and Toyota?
I've always liked them because I always remember seeing them as a kid in Thailand.
I just like the idea how small they are and like petite. Dude, and
super
cool.
Nimble. You ever watch one of those things rip off road?
Yeah, they're freaking insane. Super nimble.
I mean, they're solid nose. Axle.
Yeah.
And they look good.
And they're smaller than this couch.
I like the hard tops. I know they come in soft tops, but the hard tops can coolest. Pop off.
Yeah.
So I like that.
I saw one last night. That's when you said it. Like, I lit up because I saw one last night. Some guy has one and he put a rooftop tent, wheels, tires, the whole thing. And I was like,
yeah, but that's going to tip over.
All right. Hot Wheels. Underrated, overrated.
Wait, like the little toys?
Yeah, fucking iconic Hot Wheels.
Honestly, they look cheap now.
Are they made in China? Are they metal? Are they still metal? Because remember the ones we had as kids were like metal. And painted and shit.
Yeah, I like the vintage ones look cool.
Yeah.
I do like where they're going, though, and making, like, the regular cars.
Yeah, uh-huh. They made a 4Runner, right?
Yeah, yeah. I got, like, an 87 4Runner. It's sitting in the shop over here.
Oh, so it's not only, like, the weird, yeah, like, mystical
it's not,
cars.
Yeah, it's not only, like, Corvettes and, sick, like, though. the cool cars.
Uh-huh.
Just an 87 4Runner.
That's 4Runner. All he wants. Yeah. He's like, Hot Wheels slaps because I have an 87
that
4Runner.
That actually was given to me by the advertising, the head of marketing of 4Runner for Toyota.
Damn.
For the commercial, she was like, she saw my truck the first time, and she's like, she literally walked up and she, like, talking to me, and she was like, she's like, so... I just found this fucking 87 4Runner on on eBay.
Uh-huh.
She was like, can I buy it for you? And I was like, yeah. Fuck yeah. Like, I've been waiting for somebody to put a little 4Runner on my truck.
Oh, yeah. In the parking lot?
Yeah.
In the parking lot? Yeah, exactly.
Well, there's like a YouTube video of this person who leaves their car Hot Wheel on their windshield and records them from a distance, the reaction.
Secret guerrilla marketing campaign by Hot Wheels.
By Hot Wheels, I could imagine.
It's a pretty good one.
And then everybody's like, oh, what the fuck is this on my windshield? They're all angry.
Uh-huh.
They grab it and they're like, oh, it's so my car. Happy. And then their face just changes.
And it's like an actual replica of someone's
vehicle? Oh, yeah, exactly.
That's badass.
Yeah,
that's
so they're just cool. Like, oh, happy, and then like go in their car and they're like, oh. But it's funny how like pissed off they are and then how happy they are.
That's just human.
Like, probably thought they got a ticket.
Yeah. V knows about tickets.
Oh, dude.
E30. Free E30. That was hilarious. Low key, sorry.
You were there.
I was literally...
Front and center.
Yeah. I saw it happen. I was like... Center.
You were videotaping while it was happening.
Yeah, dude. Okay, what do we got? Whitey tighties or briefs?
Just whitey tighties. It's underrated, overrated.
Oh, yeah, that's what it was. Sorry. Just
whitey tighties.
I don't mind. I mean, I wear briefs, though.
I think they're freaking overrated. They're so uncomfortable. Whitey tighties.
I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
I guess
that shit rides.
Yeah, for sure.
The fact that people still buy packs of like whitey tighties, I'm like, what?
That doesn't make sense. No. There's better technology.
Better
advancements.
All right, we're going to wrap it up with Thailand. Underrated, overrated.
Oh.
What?
That's why it's just the worst bomb drop of a question.
Well, honestly, I mean, I don't know. I think.
But everybody's different.
Is it literally a joke? Obviously, you guys are going to say it's.
It's overrated for you because you ordered the fucking American broccoli, bro.
Kind of want Thai food now.
We had Thai food today.
Yeah.
You're on your own.
I went to Tony's Kitchen.
Oh, sick.
Nice. How they doing? Homie.
Good?
Yeah.
It's a big spot.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I stop by every once in a while.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. We didn't even look at the questions.
My phone. Any questions? My phone died.
Oh, we can't even read questions because the phone
died.
Damn. Well, see you guys later. Well,
I think Cody, I don't remember.
Everything's good otherwise.
Our books.
Books.
Yeah, books are about to open back up.
So people have been asking about, you know, work and stuff like that. Just shoot us an email and we'll get to it as soon as we can. It'll take us a little while to get to it, but feel free to shoot us an email
and we can start talking about it. Like mechanic wise, probably early January, mid January.
You guys did close your books for a little bit, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been kind of a weird one. It seems like even with the books closed, just kept flooding.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, people are being that one sperm that just gets to the end, you know, they're just breaking every barrier. Like, I'm getting it. Emergency, but not really.
Yeah, exactly. Like today, didn't you just take a new client in today?
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of it is too, is that we take care of our existing clients too. So a lot of our bookings are that. So, making sure the trucks that we sold, they want to keep them maintained by us. So that does take some of our time, and it's obviously a precedence too. I mean, we got two trucks in the shop right now that are client trucks that have purchased trucks from us. So,
yeah. But. So books are open now or soon to be in January.
And that's the other thing, you know, like with us just kind of learning everything as we go, this is, I would still say, something that we need to learn a lot about, you know, and try to figure out and dial in.
So we're not going to be perfect when we reopen.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the three of us here.
Basically, you know, whoever, if you've had patience and you've been waiting and you continue to wait and we finally get to you, it's so worth it. That's all I got to say.
He's like, buy my peanut brittle.
Yes.
Hello. Dang. Do the plug. Dude.
Hi, my name's Adam. I'm from Squirrel Concepts, and I don't have a real job. So if you can come here and buy my peanut brittle, it would help me fill up my $89 gas tank.
On that note, I think that's a proper way to end. All right. I appreciate you, boys.
Oh, yeah, man. Thanks for coming.
89, that's a deal. It used to be 100.
Damn.
What is that Ford? 125.
What, gallons?
To I don't fill even up.
Dollars.
No, it's, yeah, to fill up is like one.
Damn, you better sell it right now.
Like $100. Like just shy of 100. But yeah, I'm ready to get rid of it. But
did you find a new old Ford yet?
No, and it's because I had a meeting with a company.
Oh, and you missed out on a deal.
No, and the company is a manufacturer. So I can't really disclose further. I'll tell you guys after. I don't want to like cool spoil it though. Yeah.
Cool. Oh yeah.
All right, homies.
Okay.
Sick.
Thank you, man. Oh. Another good one.
Yeah. Squirrelconcepts.com @SquirrelConcepts @AdamKMasters @Lost.Nut_, right?
Something like that.
And then V Meets World, but he never posts. He just posts.
Mariana posts
for you.
I'll repost. She tags him.
He just tags when he's like, I'm like, oh yeah, there's.
You should be like V reposter.
Yeah.
V_repost.
That's a good one.
All right. And then look out for the Cabana Boys drop. If you order merch from their website, it's getting shipped actually from their location. And if it has grease on the shirt, don't be mad. It's because they just finished wrenching and your shirt went out right after.
It's a signature.
We're going to work on new hats for them too. So they're going to have a new headwear launch, new shirts, and then the new shop tee colors. So be on the lookout for all of that.
Cool.
All good?
Yes, sir.
All right,
maybe
boys.
Some mechanics wear.
Squirrel tidy whities.
All right. See you guys.
All right.
Load the truck and hit the road. Is our home.
That went way too long. I'm so sorry. Yes, <what up? laughs> All right.